This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
And the following is the result.
The first count in Galway West.
And it's not easy. Election counts aren't easy for any candidate.
The total poll, 49,944. Boyle votes, 478.
I deem them to be elected.
Hello and welcome to Loughlin Bridge on the banks of the Barrow in County Carlow. This evening on the constituency, the focus is on the five seats here in Carlow Kilkenny. And as usual, we'll be trying to pinpoint the likely winners and losers. But this week, rather than looking mainly at the contenders, most of the focus will be on the voters, on how we decide to vote the way we do, on what matters and what doesn't, and on why a sizeable number of us don't vote at all.
Charlie Haughey, they always gave out about him. But, I mean, he was the first to give us free travel to the elderly people. But I hadn't tried to spend too much money on his funeral and give it to the poor down in Carlow.
Monday afternoon at the Parish Centre in Loughlin Bridge, the Active Retirement Association is meeting and four of them have gathered to discuss politics and politicians with me. That was Mariah Lawler we heard from just a moment ago. Also here are Breda Aylward, Betty Murphy and Jim Campbell. Earlier, the news had broken about that huge security van robbery just a few miles away near Carlow town, and crime is the issue that's foremost in Jim's thoughts.
The Gardaí, we haven't enough Gardaí. We had a sergeant and two Gardaís in the village at one stage, and we have one part-time Gardaí, and we don't know when he's going to be there. A lot of us old people now, we're scared on our own. We're scared that of what crime there is. We had two break-ins here in the last few weeks.
And is it mainly local issues that would concern you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I wouldn't be a man for national politics.
In 2002, only four of Carlow Kilkenny's five seats were up for grabs. As is customary, the then Ceann Comhairle, Seamus Paterson of Labour, was returned automatically. The remaining four went 3 Fianna Fáil, 1 Fine Gael. This time, all five seats will be voted for. Now, so far, nobody here has been canvassed, but when the politicians do come knocking, they can expect to be tackled on a range of issues. For a start, they will be asked what they're doing to make it easier for older people to stay in their own homes rather than moving to a nursing home. This issue was raised by Betty, and then we'll hear from Mariah.
I worked in a nursing home situation and I saw at first hand the loneliness of the people who were actually in the nursing home. And I feel that if they're cared for at home, that's provided that they're medically able to stay at home, that they are in with the family situation, they're there with their children, they're there with their grandchildren, everyone is popping in and they're keeping them, their mind and keeping them active and keeping them alert.
And what do you think then that the government should be doing to encourage that, to make sure that that is possible?
If, say, the employers of the children, that they could do flexi hours to help the children to care, say, so many hours a day for the children. Also, that maybe that they, if they had outside help, that the people would be paid.
I think there's an awful lot of money wasted in the health board, particularly in administration centres. I mean, they have big offices as big as race courses. So if that thing from administration was looked after, there'd be a lot of spare money.
Politicians of all hues like to list all the things they'll do for older people. The reason is simple. Older people vote in far greater numbers than younger people. The increase in the pension over the past few years has been welcome, but Mariah and Breda say the fuel allowance remains inadequate.
They just skipped a lot of things. For instance, the fuel money. I mean, they don't even get the price of one bag of coal for fuel money. And if there's a person living on their own, where would one bag of coal go?
I'd also be concerned about the fuel, having been sick for the past fortnight and having to turn off the heating to try and spare it to get out the months.
And is that something then that, in your experience, people would be doing, that they'd be having to eke out the fuel to make sure it lasts?
They have to. They have to turn off the heating at certain times. Older people are at home the whole time in their homes and they need heat.
So then, how do the current crop of politicians compare with those of 20, 30, 40 years ago? Jim says there's at least one big difference. We now know far more.
You know, people don't have as much faith in the politicians now, because I think of the brown envelopes. I think that's put politicians down. Now, we really did look up to politicians before. The tribunals that are still going on, what, nearly 10 years since they started, and all the millions of pounds that's being spent on it, and what comes out at the end of the day.
Would some of those revelations, would they have shocked you?
Oh, certainly, they would have shocked me.
And would the rest of you feel the same? I mean, would your faith in politicians, would your trust in politicians, would it have been knocked to a certain extent by all of that?
Yes, it was, very much so, yeah. We looked up to those people, and to see that what they had done with money and how they abused the system.
Do you think any of that, though, will affect how people actually choose to vote next May?
I think people now will be asking more questions and maybe be more firm with the politicians when they do come to the door. I personally will be. I will be asking, what are they going to do, and whatever, you know.
Well, I'm very confused. Did any of them change? I don't know.
A snapshot of voters' views here in Carlow, and later I'll be talking to some people at the other end of the electoral spectrum, first-time voters. But 4 or so months out from a general election, how much do we actually know at a national level about what makes voters tick? This year we'll see the publication of the first ever full-scale research into Irish voting behaviour.
We asked questions about policy. We asked questions about leaders. We asked questions about candidates. We asked questions about each of the parties.
Professor Michael Marsh of the Politics Department in Dublin's Trinity College. After the 2002 general election, Trinity, UCD and the Economic and Social Research Institute came together to ask more than 2,500 randomly selected voters about their political preferences. They completed a questionnaire many times longer than a standard opinion poll. Researchers have returned to those voters on a number of subsequent occasions and will do so again after this year's election.
I think essentially we're trying to ascertain the questions that all election studies try and find out. Why do people vote the way they do? What are the things that are most important to them? How much do people vote for the same party all the time, or do they vote for different parties? If they vote for different parties, why do they vote for Fianna Fáil on one occasion and Fine Gael on the other? And we were also interested in what were people voting for. In Ireland, unlike many other countries, there is the opportunity for the candidate to be really important in the election process, and interpretations of elections tend to assume that people voted for parties for often policy-related reasons, but it could well be that they vote for candidates for policy reasons really related to their own locality, the old parish pump and pothole candidate. We really wanted to know how extensive that was.
What then does the Irish National Election Study tell us about why the country voted the way it did in 2002? You might recall that the opposition put particular emphasis then, as now, on the failures in the health service. Now, opinion polls have long indicated that health is the number one issue with the electorate. It lights up the phones on Liveline. It's the issue that's been mentioned most in my travels around the country. And yet, it gave no electoral boost to Fine Gael in 2002. Michael Marsh says this is because when it came to polling day, issues such as health and crime weren't paramount.
First of all, we can say that some of the conventional interpretations of elections in terms of people voted for this policy or they voted for that policy are a long way off the mark. We find very little evidence that policy preferences, policy positions, issues in that sense, motivate many voters. I don't think that party competition in Ireland over the years has been about policy preferences in the sense that this party wants that policy and another party wants another policy. There are always exceptions, but I think broadly speaking it's not.
But you might legitimately ask, what about constituencies such as Cavan Monaghan or Wexford in the last election, or Roscommon in previous polls, where people voted specifically in their droves for candidates who stood on a health platform?
perhaps the biggest exception to that is policy as seen in very localistic rather than national terms, and keeping your hospital open. That's the sort of policy reason that clearly does get the voters out. But it doesn't work so well in terms of discriminating between the major parties and the independents. And some of the minor parties make much more capital out of that than others.
Now, all of this, according to those who have analysed the Irish election study, the 2,500 questionnaires, doesn't mean that issues from the economy to transport were irrelevant to the 2002 electorate. It's just the issues tended to be framed in a certain way.
Competence is very important. It's not so much a question of what you'll do in office, but whether you'll do it well or badly. And it's quite clear that the government, the PD Fianna Fáil government, was seen as an awful lot more competent than any conceivable opposition last time. And clearly what both sides need to do this time is to make sure they're seen to be more competent than the other lot. Competence has primarily been the driving force in British elections in recent years, and I think in many others. And I think Ireland is a very strong case of that.
So an overall sense then of competence is far more important than an individual policy?
I think so, and it's the same for local candidates. You know, why do you vote for that local candidate? Because that is the candidate who I think, you know, has got the best track record or is best able to deliver for this area. That's what people say, and all sorts of things go to back that up.
The study also backs up the belief that if both your parents are close to a particular party, there's a strong chance you'll inherit that loyalty. But it shows too that the number of absolute party diehards is in decline. A very significant number of people say they voted first and foremost for a candidate rather than a party. And there's a good reason why so many of those candidates will turn up on your doorstep over the next few months. Canvassing works.
One of the strongest associations we found was between which parties contacted you and who you voted for. And whilst there may be some circularity in that, with some parties contacting only their potential supporters, I think it's a great deal more than that. And even amongst the big parties that would canvass very extensively in their constituency, it's still the case that someone who's only contacted by one party will almost invariably vote for that party.
How important is the party leader?
At the margins, very important. 2 or 3% can make a big difference. But I think that's really what we're talking about with party leaders. We're talking about 2 or 3% on the vote for the big parties. We're not talking about 10 or 15%. And even in the smaller parties, or perhaps particularly in the smaller parties, I think it's very clear. Mary Harney was very popular last time. Many people thought she was the best leader, but not many people voted for her party. My guess is that this time round, Michael McDowell won't be seen as the best leader by as many people as saw Mary Harney as the best leader. But whether that has any impact on the vote, I would be rather more sceptical. Leader does not appear on the ballot paper. Candidates do. Parties do. And they're a lot more important in people's votes than leaders.
Michael Marsh of TCD on some of the findings of the National Election Study, which will be published in full later in the year. It also confirms that local factors play a huge part in determining how people use their vote, and there's ample proof of that here in Carlow. The county has long been the junior partner in this constituency. The bulk of the population lives in Kilkenny. The imbalance is exacerbated by the fact that a small part of Carlow is actually in the Wicklow constituency. At the moment, just one of the 5 sitting TDs in Carlow Kilkenny is Carlow-based. Eddie Coffey is the editor of the local newspaper, The Nationalist.
I suppose you could say that Carlow has a small inferiority complex in terms of the numbers. The reality, first of all, is that Carlow has 2/5 of the population. Kilkenny has 3/5. Kilkenny tends to get the rub of the green. They've had more ministerial cars than Carlow. They've had probably more given to them, if you like, in terms of facilities by government, etc., etc. By and large, most of the Carlow people will vote number one, Carlow.
And do they then tend to believe that Kilkenny candidates don't look after Carlow?
I think the reality of politics is local. I don't think that Phil Hogan and John McGuinness and either Liam or Bobby Aylward care that much about Carlow, to be honest. Really, Kilkenny candidate will look after Kilkenny because that's where his bread and butter is and that's where the number ones are for him. So he knows that coming into Carlow is a waste of time to a large extent.
Across the county line in Kilkenny, the view isn't that different. Tom Malloy is the editor of the Kilkenny People.
I think it's fair to say that Carlow politicians make almost no effort to court the vote here. I've, for instance, never met MJ Nolan, and I'm sure it works the other way around. I doubt that the TDs from Kilkenny stray over the border very often. It's a shame, but there you are.
Back to the constituency's voters. I've come here to the Carlow Institute of Technology to test the mood of first-time voters. There's just one small problem. Only a tiny minority are actually registered to vote. Among those I met were Michelle and Elva.
Well, I am registered to vote and I only believe in voting for left-wing parties. I think that's got to do with my parents. You know, they have installed that in me. I'd only vote Labour or independent left-wing candidates or the Green Party.
In general, do you think there's very much interest among the student population in the election, which I suppose is only four, at most, maybe 5 months away?
No, not at all.
You don't sit here in the canteen and discuss it every day, no?
Definitely not. It's very strange that you would actually meet a group of people that are registered to vote. I know probably four people my age that are registered to vote, and that's it.
Michelle, are you registered to vote?
I'm actually not. I'm one of the majority of college students that haven't yet got around to it. I think, to be honest with you, I think that students are kind of living in a bit of a bubble. They're just sort of leaving maybe from being under 18 with their parents' care, and then they're not yet gone into the real adult working world. So you're in a kind of a student bubble where the majority are just coming to class every day and then have got maybe a part-time job weekends, which is just minimum wage. And to be honest, that's the only thing that's going to affect us in terms of taxes or inflation, to see our minimum wage go up.
It's probably fair to say that the students I spoke to were self-selecting. Those who had no interest in politics did everything short of running away in horror when I approached them. Sandra Buckley is unusual in that she's actually a member of a party. So why join Young Fine Gael?
It started off as I had someone I was used to babysit for in the local election. She wanted me to vote for her, and of course I wanted to vote for her as well. So that's how I started voting, and I have to say now that I would be probably very interested in voting, yeah. It was a Fianna Fáil candidate, but I'm changing to Fine Gael now, unfortunately.
That's interesting. Why would you say that? What has made you change?
I think actually people see Fianna Fáil as kind of like, maybe students just, Fianna Fáil is kind of like an older government.
I suppose maybe for people your own age, you probably can't remember anybody other than Fianna Fáil in government.
Definitely, yeah. Like, I wouldn't have any problem with saying or qualms about it, that I wouldn't know exactly who was in government before Fianna Fáil.
Bertie Ahern appeared to be the best-known politician by a considerable distance, and in the same way that older people mentioned nursing homes and fuel allowances, no major surprise that grants and the like were mentioned here. Anthony Friel was another of those students who was actually registered to vote.
I am, yeah. I'm registered for postal vote in Donegal. From a student point of view, we will be looking at things that are important to us, and that would be funding for colleges and registration fee increase. Again, grants would be very important that would be looked at as well for our students.
Has anybody come looking for your vote so far?
Not yet, but they may have noticed that it was a student house and not bothered knocking.
The students' view in Carlow. Let's take a look then at the electoral arithmetic in the Carlow-Kilkenny constituency. In 2002, it yielded one of Fianna Fáil's best results nationwide. The party took 50% of the vote. Two of the incumbents aren't running again. Seamus Paterson is retiring. The poll topper 5 years ago, Fianna Fáil's Liam Aylward, is also an MEP and he's opting to stay in Brussels. His brother Bobby will be on the party ticket, as will sitting TD's John McGuinness here in Kilkenny and MJ Nolan in Carlow. There will also be three Fine Gael candidates, frontbencher Phil Hogan and Senator John Paul Phelan in Kilkenny and Senator Fergal Brown in Carlow. Labour have two candidates, Michael O'Brien in Kilkenny and Jim Townsend in Carlow. The surprise here was that Seamus Paterson's nephew Owen wasn't selected. Kathleen Funchen is the Sinn Féin candidate. Carlow-based Walter Lacey is running for the Progressive Democrats, and the party say they may add a Kilkenny name. Now, Carlow-Kilkenny is high on the Greens' target list, as indeed it was in 2002. The party's deputy leader, Carlow woman Mary White, is the candidate. But Tom Malloy of the Kilkenny People questions the decision not to run a sweeper candidate in the larger county.
That's right. The PDs say that they're going to select another candidate, but the Green Party has a unique strategy. They're only running one candidate, and that's Mary White, who comes from Carlow, from Boris, kind of an area close to the border. It's a peculiar strategy. There's a very popular local councillor here, Malcolm Noonan, but anyway, that's the strategy they've adopted, and we'll see how it works for them.
An independent former Carlow Fine Gaeler, Billy Nolan, has also signalled his intention to run. Mind you, he was on the ballot paper at the last election and didn't poll well. Anyway, Tom Molloy in Kilkenny and Eddie Coffey in Carlow have both been taking a look at how the five seats might fall. Eddie Coffey believes that three of the seats are fairly predictable.
Lee Mailward obviously has been a TD for Carlow Kilkenny for a long number of years, but he's not running this time as he's in Europe. His brother Bobby is the candidate. Now, Liam got 12,000 votes, phenomenal personal vote in any constituency the last time. I don't expect Bobby is going to get 12,000 votes. But 12,000 will give him 2,000 to spare. So even if he lost 2,000, even if he lost 3,000 votes off his brother's number,
he would still be elected.
I think he's still elected. I think his party colleague, John McGuinness, got over 9,000 the last time. I reckon he's a shoo-in as well. There's going to be obviously a Fine Gael seat and I think Phil Hogan seat, albeit that he didn't set the house on fire the last time when he got 7,800.
Has to be said, I suppose, as well, that unlike a large part of the Fine Gael front bench, he did manage to hang on the last time.
Indeed he did. I think it's a safe seat, though. That's the bottom line, is I think he's going to be elected.
I would agree with all three names that Eddie Coffey's mentioned. I'd add a fourth, which is MJ Nolan. I think it's inconceivable that Carlo won't return a TD and that they won't return a TD from the largest political party in the state. And so that means we only have one seat that will be up for grabs, and that looks like being a seat that either Labour or Fine Gael can take.
On the basis that Fianna Fáil took three out of four here in 2002 and that at the moment there's no evidence of a dramatic decline in their vote, and on the belief that the elimination of Walter Lacey would send a reasonable number of votes MJ Nolan's way, Eddie Coffey agrees that he will be elected.
I think it'll be Aylward first in, McGuinness second in, Hogan third in. I have a feeling it might be MJ fourth in.
So one seat still to be filled. According to Tom Molloy and Eddie Coffey, in contention will be the higher polling of the two Labour candidates, which in 2002, at any rate, with Jim Townsend, the higher polling of the other two Fine Gaelers, which is probably more likely to be Fergal Brown, and Mary White of the Green Party.
And at that point, I think Jim Townsend, because the left vote between the Sinn Féin, his Labour colleague, and Mary White, I think there are enough left-leaning votes there to slip Jim Townsend ahead of Fergal Brown.
As you say, we're still a few months away from a general election, so at this stage, who knows? But if your forecast was correct, it would be quite a disappointment for the Green Party, who seem to be putting a lot of effort into trying to get Mary White into the Dáil this time.
I think the Greens, if they are to be in the government, would be targeting Carlow Kilkenny as a constituency where they should make a gain. But the reality on the ground is that it's a dogfight. Mary would be fighting and fighting hard for that last seat. And, you know, an election can throw up all manner of little intricacies. But right now, if the election was tomorrow, I think Labour stroke Fine Gael will keep the Green Party out locally. And as I said, that dogfight between Jim Townsend, Mary White and Fergal Brown at the end, I have a feeling that it might be Jim for Labour.
It should be said that in plumping for Labour over the Green Party, Eddie Coffey is at odds with some Dublin-based pundits who feel that Mary White will be successful this time. However, it should also be said that Tom Molloy in Kilkenny agrees.
Mary White's a formidable candidate. She's an exception to what we were talking about earlier on. She's a candidate who does make incursions into Kilkenny and is actively courting the Kilkenny vote and campaigning on Kilkenny issues. She's very good, but no, I don't think a large rural constituency like this is ready yet for a Green TD.
Tom Molloy of the Kilkenny People, bringing our look at the Carlow Kilkenny constituency to an end. A podcast will be available via the RTE website. Thanks for listening.